Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, where it's that time of the week where we speak to one of the most respected and admired gentlemen in the City of London, David Bewick. How are you today, David?
You make me feel very good, Jack. None of those praises am I worthy of. All the better for speaking to you is to answer the question. Good form.
Right, okay. Well, we were just discussing in our little chit-chat before we came on air about the relative, how cool everybody is about potential geopolitical concerns.
I must say that on Friday morning, when I'd heard that those air base in Syria, I thought, oh dear me, this has problems, because you add it to the North Korea jingoistic behaviour, and then subsequently, of course, we found out of that terrible bombing in the churches in Cairo and the truck driver in Stockholm. And this makes, frankly, the situation look very ugly. Stock markets hardly moved. In fact, their ambivalence was a sight to behold. I don't mean that in an arrogant manner, but clearly they felt that the action taken by the United States was a one-off, a straightforward one-off. Please take a bloody nose, stop it, because we're not amused by it, and can we please, you know, make sense, good sense to prevail? Now, that's counting on an awful lot. I mean, it's possible that Putin is sensible enough to realize that any escalation of military action in Syria would be very bad for the world's economy. He is also already under the cosh significantly where he is. The Russian economy is not doing at all well, and if sanctions were greatly increased, and also the fact that the supply of oil, even though he's got plenty of it himself, he needs his export orders to be organized. I think he probably understands that that's not really the way forward. But it's North Korea that worries me, because this bloke is a lunatic. And I don't know whether the Chinese authorities have got sufficient control. We didn't get any lead out of the meeting between President Trump and also President Xi in Florida as to whether he was going to do anything. I doubt that they put that on the wires, but you'd like to have got a feeling, apart from just talking about one or two nebulous trade issues, which they did, such as financial services and other things, but we didn't really get any real meat and potatoes.
Probably didn't want any of the Trump type of meat and potatoes, because that would have been, his diplomacy skills are not, he's not famous for them. But
not great.
There's so many other issues. I mean, I think what we've seen time and time again with the geopolitical strife is that actually equities are almost regarded as a safe haven. That's why they don't go down, rather than being...
Yep.
Somewhere which is affected by risk. So you buy your Tesco's and your WH Smith's and you don't really care about what's going on in North Korea. The other thing is, isn't North Korea a bit of a paper tiger?
Hope so, but I'm not as comfortable as you are. I'm still moving very uncomfortably from one cheek of my backside to the other.
Right.
I feel very, very uncomfortable about this.
That's a very poetic image, which will stick in my mind. But didn't Trump have to act though in Syria? I mean, it was chemical weapons. You can't let that.
Oh yes, no. I think he was spot on. I mean, Obama had his chance whenever it was 7 years ago, and he bottled it because he didn't get the support from the UK government and the other members of the United Nations, and so he, understandably, in some respects, backed off.
And the other actual point to note, which has been described here on Tip TV, is that part of the reason that maybe Trump is seeking to exert his influence outside the US is because he's not been able to do anything within the US. And in fact, you could say the geopolitical tensions are actually almost a result of the logjam in the House of Representatives, Congress, and everywhere else.
I would endorse that. I think there's a degree of cynicism, is it? But you know, if anything's to go by, his legislation plans for healthcare and also for tax cuts are a disaster area. And there are a lot of people out there who genuinely believe that if he gets through 50% of his ideas on infrastructure spending, he will have had a right royal result. We've paid a huge premium, Zach, for expectation and hope. And we've been delivered absolutely nothing to date. I think what we're probably going to get away with, and I don't know whether your research agrees with this, that we start with the second quarter earnings on Thursday in earnest, when we've got JP Morgan, Citigroup and Wells Fargo delivering their quarterly results, which I suspect will be very good. I hope so, based on the fact of the share price, the way they've rallied in the course of the last 6 months, particularly Wells Fargo, that's also had the scandal. And then next week, you'll get a much broader base of companies. And I'm told that the S&P earnings are going to be pretty good, that they may well be, in terms of profit, 11% up. And if that is the case, then I think the three main indices in the United States can maintain their momentum. Otherwise, if they're not, you might see a little bit of a correction. But I think you're right. I think the overseas or the foreign affairs field has taken pride of place.
And it's a little bit of the Rothschild maxim of buying to the sound of gunfire as well. Cannon fire.
Yeah, no, but I think that's right. But, you know, we keep seeing plenty of deals around or dismissal of them. The fact is that, you know, we've seen so many people, whether it's Elliott Advisors, you know, in the case of what they've done with Akzo Nobel, wanting them to, you know, either get into bed with Pittsburgh Glass Group, or, you know, do something about delivering greater shareholder value. And then Elliott couldn't leave it there, and they're on the back of BHP Billiton, who they say haven't delivered shareholder value in a proper manner, and they want them to sell off or hive off their US oil activities. It's interesting to note in BHP's case, though, that they have returned £19 billion to shareholders since 2001 in terms of share buyback and £45 billion worth of dividends. So it's not exactly a shabby result, even though they had a real debacle, as did all other miners, 2 to 3 years ago.
We shall see how all that pans out. David Buick, senior market commentator, Panmure Gordon, thank you very much for joining us today.
Great pleasure.